Hello and welcome to the Aviatrix Book Review Writer's Room. I'm Liz Booker. In this portion of my interview with author Amy Goodpaster-Strebe, she talks about her research for Flying for Her Country, the American and Soviet Women Military Pilots of World War II, publishing through a university press, and how the experience of publishing her master's thesis affected her life.
You cannot trust it to come again, to wait for you to find a pen and fill the paper with the message that it wants to send.
So you decided on the thesis, you decided what you were going to study, then how did you go about the research? Was it all academic, or did you travel to Russia for it?
I wasn't able to travel to Russia for my thesis, unfortunately. Didn't have the time or the resources for that. But actually, since I did a comparative study, I was able to find enough information to be able to do that. So for the American side, for the WASS side, I contacted Texas Women's University, which they have a wonderful archive on the WASS. And so I was able to work with them for materials. Also, just, obviously I read everything I could get my hands on that's been written on the WASP. And I think for the book, I interviewed one WASP, Jean Harmon, since we were living in the Bay Area. She lived in Menlo Park. And so she was actually the only WASP that I was able to meet and interview for the book.
I was curious to understand how you went from a master's thesis to a published book. And is that normal for an historian? Do you always publish your thesis? Because it seems like you published it under two different presses, correct?
Right. So first it came the hardcover. Prager Security International published my first book in hardcover. And then I was lucky enough, a few years later, Potomac Books, my acquisitions editor, liked my book enough to sell it. When she moved over to Potomac Books, she had them buy the rights and it became a paperback, which I was really grateful for, especially since they had priced my hardcover like ridiculously high. So it wasn't, not selling a lot of copies. It was like $50 or something, which is, I'm like, what? So the paperback was great. I was actually able to put more photos into it. And then, I think it was like under $20. So it was much easier to promote and to sell. So I was really happy about that. But yeah, it's funny. After I got my degree, and my thesis was published, I just kind of thought it was kind of more of a lark. It was like, I've done all this research and I'm proud of my research, and my thesis was really well received by my professors and the university. So I thought, why not? Why not try and get it published? And I had written, my first book, Desert Dogs, The Marines of Operation Iraqi Freedom. So I did have some publishing, credentials to my name. So that makes it a little bit easier. I think once you've published something, makes it a little easier to, kind of continue that. So yeah, so I just, I sent it to probably like half a dozen. I did some research on what publishers, do specifically history, women's history, aviation history. And yeah, within a couple of months, I was able to kind of start that process, which I was really grateful for. And it was exciting. It was really, really nice to kind of be able to share my work with a wider audience. Because I don't, it's a sad, theses are put in the university's library. And
yeah, mine is sitting in a library.
Like it. Yeah. They probably don't get read much, right? So. Right. So that was really exciting.
You've already talked a little bit about the opportunities that you received from having written it to meet the history that you wrote about. But in what other ways has publishing this book affected your life?
Well, it's funny. I never really thought, that I would still be writing and talking to people about women in aviation. I think the book kind of became a little bit, I kind of extended the life of it, being able to do these events, which I was so, so happy to be able to do, to moderate, WASP panel discussions. I did several of those, one with the Air Forces. They have an annual like Air and Space Conference in Maryland that I got to do. also it was an exciting one in Seattle at the Air Museum in Seattle. I moderated a panel of the Soviet air women. And that was really exciting because we had to deal with a translator who's actually a friend of mine. And I'd met her in Moscow. And it was interesting because Galina Brook-Beltsova, who was featured in my book, she's one of the navigators in the dive bomber regiment. And she's a sweetheart. I just loved her. And she was so excited and had so much enthusiasm and passion for what she was talking about in her time, you know, during the war. And she would just talk. And Fidan, who was the translator, you know, she would just, you know, she'd try to catch up, but the audience would just laugh because it's like they knew that, you know, she couldn't capture everything, you know, the essence of such, you know, she tried to get as much as she could, you know, translated into English. But it was a really great experience, and it was really wonderful that the Russian women were able to come to the United States and, you know, and share their stories with American audiences.
So I was wondering what advice you would have for either a student of history, someone who's in an academic setting who chooses to do research on an unexplored topic about featuring women in aviation, or you know, somebody who just has an interest in some character in our history who has not been well researched before. What advice do you have for them?
Well, I think, you know, usually if you're interested in a topic, you know, you obviously go to the library and you get like as much, you know, it seems old fashioned going to the library, I guess, but I guess they do exist still, but yeah, obviously you probably go online. Okay. You Google first and you'd find, you know, find all information. And then, you know, kind of start building up your resources. Obviously, primary sources are the best because those are the eyewitness, the ones that are written by those people. And
speaking of which, I do want to call out the extensive bibliography at the back of your book. You have a lot of resources listed there for people if they want to go to source material or other reference material on the topic.
Oh yeah. And I love bibliographies. I'm one of those like strange people. I actually read people's bibliographies. I'm really interested in, I'm like, ooh, I want to check that out. Like, oh, yeah.
That's my kind of rabbit hole. You know, people talk about the internet. Like I can go down.
Yeah. It's great. Cause it's like, you know, people can like actually go there and like, you know, just kind of start the research. So yeah. And that's another great thing, you know, be able to, you know, you not only look at the book, but look at where the author got some of their information. And, you know, so that's also really important. And then, you know, I mean, if you're lucky enough to be in a subject where the people, the subject matter are still alive, and there's still some of them, then by all means, try and make contact with them if you can, because that, you know, and also just being able to get research that hasn't been written, hasn't been recorded yet. Unfortunately, with our World War II folks, you know, so many of them have passed away and we have very few of them left. You know, so I kind of wish I'd done my research maybe 10 or 20 years a little bit earlier so I would have caught more of them, you know. But I'm very grateful that I did when I did, because the more if I'd waited, I wouldn't have been able to actually meet them and, you know, share a lot of their experiences.
In that context, I do want to say, you know, we are losing our World War II veterans, but their families, you know, their legacies are still here, some of them. And I know that Sarah Byrne Rickman has been able to do some of her research that way by contacting families who had either diaries or letters.
Oh, yes. Yes. Those. Memoirs and absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's another way to maybe get access to to source material.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then publishing, you kind of talked about your publishing journey already, but you know, if you've done all this research in an academic setting, especially, like, what does that look like? You know, you've done your master's thesis. Was your press at your school or you went to a different university?
No. And that's a really important part because, you know, some people, you know, there's so many publishing companies and some people just, it's really important to do your research for that as well, because, you know, not all publishing companies publish certain subjects. Right. And so it's really important. Like I got a book called, I forget what it was called, but it's basically a book about all the different publishing companies and their contact information. I don't know if they still do it, but they did it annually. And I would get it every year. And, you know, kind of like if you're a freelance writer, here are the places that you can sell your work to. And then they have ones that are publishing companies. And so that was really nice because you had kind of all that information at your fingertips. And then in the listings, they would state whether, you know, what kind of subject they look for, let's say women's history or military history, or, and then just some information on there, like, you know, how long does it take for them to get back to you? Like, the funny thing is, like, one of the university presses that I sent my query letter to, I think like they may have gotten back to me a year after I submitted it. Like, I had already gotten a contract, and I think my book was already like, I was already kind of doing, you know, going towards it and doing my research and writing and everything. And they're like, oh, well, thank you so much for your, I almost thought that, you know, I would be kind of embarrassed to write a letter like a year after. It's almost like, did it get lost in their desk or something? Do they, like, it's just like, really? So that was kind of me, but I have learned, though, that the publishing world has its own timeline that's very separate from yours.
Reality.
And my timeline. They're like, you know, it's very, very different. So you have to be patient while also, you know, still keeping tabs and of the progress and everything. But what advice I would give is just do your research and make sure that the publishing company that you're, you know, because you do have to take a lot of like effort to, like, you know, the query letter, and the way it is lately, and I'm sure it's probably going to continue, is that the most important like aspect that the publishing company is going to look at, sadly, is how can they market your book, right? And unless you're lucky enough to get some really large New York City, you know, Simon & Schuster type of publishing company, who will do like the publicity and that kind of things for you. For the most part, for the smaller presses, it's going to be up to you to like make those contacts, you know, like get those like signings and book signs and book events, things like that. So more than likely they will ask you actually in your query letter of how you're going to market your book, basically. And so that will be a big indicator probably of your success in getting it accepted. Is, you know, do you have a good marketing plan? How do you, you know, do you have contacts? Do you have like, you know, places that you'd be able to, you know, already sell your book and that kind of thing. So, which is difficult because not, you know, all writers and researchers are born promoters, you know, and it's hard to toot your own horn and be like, hey, you know,
this is absolutely a recurring theme.
But it's one of those realities in the industry, and so, you know, so it really behooves, you know, the writer researcher to, you know, to really do their homework and make sure that when they do choose a publisher that it's, you know, that they do publish what you know, and even look at some of the books that you like that are on that subject. You know, I mean, those kind of presses, I mean, kind of look, they may not want to publish something of the same subject, but if they're doing it that kind of the subject matter in a broad kind of scope, then that might be a good place to, you know, to send it to. But I think I sent it to about a half dozen, I think, publishers. And then, you know, and I got really lucky and a lot of it is luck. I mean, it's funny, I got contacted so much from people afterwards thinking I had this like magic formula, you know, like how to get published. But yeah, I mean, I did my homework and I think my book was, you know, it was good enough to be published, but a lot of it is just like, you know, do you have what they need at that moment? You know, which you won't know, right? I mean, that's something that they do internally. But, you know, it just could be like, it's a good timing for it. It's like, you know, it's an anniversary coming up, or if it's something, I wrote an editorial for the Wall Street Journal on the WASP when they received their Congressional Gold Medal. And it was exciting, but, you know, it happened to be, it was the right time, right? It was like, oh, we got to, you know, this is happening, you know, here in, you know, so let's do that. So it was kind of one of those things that I got lucky because it was like good timing and maybe they had an extra space there that I can fill. So, but yeah, so it is important to do your homework when you start contacting the publishing companies, but not to give up. Don't give up hope. You know, it's like, it's just, it can happen, you know, it can absolutely happen. So you just gotta just gotta keep a good attitude and do your homework.
Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe wherever you listen. And if you're a woman writing in aviation, please join us in the Aviatrix Book Review website, Writer's Room, and in the Aviatrix Writers Facebook group. And help it grow just like it was born to become. Come, 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 come.